This is Carrie Crowley of the Bay Area News Group. Now back to the Giants pregame show with Marty Lurie on KMBR 680.
All right, beautiful day for baseball. Nice to have you out here. We have fun out here, don't we? I like it. All right, Carrie Crowley joins us, Bay Area News Group.
I didn't get a chance to answer that. Yeah, we have a blast.
Thank you.
We have a blast.
I didn't know.
I like it, too.
Last time I looked at you, you were eating.
Yeah, you didn't.
Boy, you demolished. What was that? Holy cow.
It was chilaquiles. Some tortillas, some, what is it, tomato sauce?
It's basically breakfast nachos.
It's breakfast nachos.
And they're outstanding. Adam ordered the best thing on the menu.
Yeah, I hit gold today, Marty.
Is that it, or are you going to finish what's on there?
I think I still got some work in me, but we came back into segment. I had to answer your, don't we have fun out here? And again, the answer is yes.
Yes, we do.
The answer is yes.
All right, Carrie Crowley joins us. Carrie, last night. Good.
Oh, there we go.
You're getting another ovation.
Not as big as yesterday.
No, well, no. The Saturday crowd loves me. What can I say?
Yeah.
Hey, Stephen Vogt put a little charge into one last night, got everyone excited. Not a great game for the Giants last night.
No, not at all. But I really like what you talked about on the postgame show last night about how Stephen Vogt has kind of been an unsung hero for this Giants team because, you know, the Giants cycled through so many different catchers at the beginning of the season, really trying to buy some time to get to Stephen Vogt. And Farhan Zaidi took a lot of heat for the way that he kind of managed the catching position. And they had Eric Kratz around. They had Rene Rivera in spring training. But ultimately, the goal was to get Stephen Vogt because they wanted a left-handed complement for Buster Posey. And it's very clear that that strategy has paid off well. Stephen Vogt has been one of the best hitters on this team when he has played. He's got extra base hit pop. And he's just really respected in that clubhouse. And that's important on a team that, you know, has lost so many games. You need morale boosters. And Stephen Vogt is definitely one of those guys.
Well, and there's a lot of players the Giants have had this year who you didn't know much about or their track record didn't speak volumes about them. Stephen Vogt is pretty much the exact same guy he was with the Oakland A's, it would appear.
Exactly. And he's thriving in the Bay Area. He's happy to be here. Grew up a Giants fan. And so it really means a lot to him to be around for Bruce Bochy's final season, to play with Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner. And he's really helped facilitate the development of some of these young pitchers. Sean Anderson has given him a lot of credit. Tyler Beedie as well. And so that's really important when you've got a catcher, especially when you're replacing a beloved clubhouse presence like Nick Hundley, as Stephen Vogt had to do. It's not an easy job. And Stephen Vogt has done a really nice job.
I think so. And I brought up the fact that he's here for Posey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's a seamless transition. You don't worry about when Vogt goes behind the plate. And he did have a bad shoulder, but it has not been a problem for him. So I think he is the unsung hero on the offensive side. I said Dyson on the pitching side. That seventh inning is critical for this team because once you get past the seventh, they could bring it home with Watson and Smith, but you got to get past the seventh, and Dyson does it.
You know, you put Dyson in a close game or a game where the Giants have a one- or two-run lead, and he has been nails all season. He is really good in those competitive situations, and you can tell he's got that closer blood in him. He was a closer for the Rangers, very successful in that role, I believe, in 2016, and now he's pitching in lower-stress situations for the Giants, not quite as high leverage, but he has still been such a key cog in that bullpen in turning the ball over to Will Smith and Tony Watson before him in that eighth inning, too, who deserves a lot of credit, because the Giants have won 17 one-run games this season. I'd venture to guess that Sam Dyson has pitched in the majority of those.
Have you talked to them about these roles? Because it felt like for the first month, like, Bochy was still kind of ironing things out. He brought Maranta in a lot with guys on base. Seems like now Maranta's still, he's the earlier inning guy now, right? He had sort of been bumped to the eighth inning early in the season. Now he's kind of the sixth inning guy. He comes in with guys on base. Then they'll sort of hand it over to Watson and Dyson and even Melanson in some of those situations. Have they talked about the consistency of these roles at all? Or?
Well, you go to Will Smith when you ask about the roles and how he sets up for the rest of the bullpen and the kind of the tone that he sets for the bullpen. And he talks about how every pitcher from the sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning on, treats their situation like they're the closer. They're the closer of that inning. It's a mentality that Smith developed when he was pitching for the Brewers. He brought that over to San Francisco, and it's really kind of materialized itself in a number of different pitchers for the Giants, and Dyson and Watson. They all believe that their inning is the ninth inning, and if they do their job, the next guy will do it as well. And the Giants have done that so many times this season. Granted, they only have 35 wins, but when they have one, it has typically looked like the normal San Francisco Giants that we've seen in the past, where it's close games, it can be torturous for the fans, but the bullpen has ultimately gotten the job done.
17-9 in one-run games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's obviously, you know, one-run games are bullpen games, generally. Carrie Crowley joins us. Carrie, I think about Bumgarner, every time he's out there, and I'm getting caught up in the analytics with him because that's what everyone talks about. Hard hit ball rate, fly ball rate, ground ball rate, strikeout rate, home run rate. You know, we're so caught up with it. And then I said to myself, if you're in a playoff game and you need six innings, I don't care what his rates are. I want this guy pitching for me. So do we get caught up too much in the analytics with him? Because this is Bumgarner, and you know what the pressure is of a playoff. I want him to have the ball.
You know, I think there's a fine line that we have to walk there because we've been covering the San Francisco Giants as an organization. Marty, you've been doing it for 21 years. I'm on my third year doing it. But from the San Francisco Giants that we know, analytics have never been at a premium in this organization. They've always valued the guys who can go out there and kind of handle the high-stress situations or at least give the perception that they love pitching with pressure. And Bumgarner has always been one of those guys. You go back to 2010 when he was 20 years old, he was doing it well. And 12 and 14, everyone knows what he did in the playoffs in 14 and then again in 16 in that wild card game. So, of course, we think about him from that perspective. But it is fair to look at the analytics and say maybe he isn't the same pitcher. Maybe these hard hit rates will catch up to him. And I think we saw it in that start down in Los Angeles a few weeks ago. You know, when he doesn't have the precision that he needs in a playoff start or that he needs to kind of make it through a tough lineup like the Dodgers or the Braves or the Brewers, he can get hit hard. And I think that that's a concern for teams that are acquiring him.
All right.
Or interested in acquiring
you're
him.
You're the New York Yankees, and you're in game three of the playoffs, and you have a chance to give the ball to Tanaka, Hap, or Sabathia, or Bumgarner.
Well, they're not giving it to Hap, I can tell you that.
Who are you giving the ball to? I mean, seriously, you know.
You want the ball at Madison Bumgarner.
You do. I think you do. I don't care what these other analytics say. I'm going to take my chance with him in a big game.
Maybe
until
not
he
game
shows
one,
that he can't do it.
Maybe not game two, but game three, well, I agree with you.
You probably have somebody for game one and game two.
Yeah.
He's probably there for game three.
Game three and then game six. Game six or seven. I mean, You're talking about that's when kind of the back end of the rotation pitchers factor into a playoff series. And who better than Madison Bumgarner to pitch late in a playoff series?
There's something to be said about guys who, and I know they talk about the clutch gene or the clutch factor, and you can't really measure it, but it seems to exist. I know Dusty Baker did it to much of our dismay in 2002, deciding I'm going to go with LeVon Hernandez because he's a big game pitcher. And he did have a couple of big wins through eight innings against the Braves in the division series that year. But I think there is a factor that some guys rise to the occasion. You know, in the NBA, we talk about playoff Rondo, right, mm-hmm. or playoff Iguodala. These guys rise to the occasion. I think the same can be said about Bumgarner.
Well, what about a guy like David Freese for the Dodgers? He's been, you know, a solid veteran player for much of his career, but when he gets into the postseason, he has a knack for the big moment.
Yep,
and granted, analytics, you know, try to drive that down, but I think that there's a reason the Dodgers brought David Freese over to that roster, and it's because he can deliver in a key situation.
And I think he'll have a good game today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the home runs by Wright. I understand that, but I still think he'll have a good game today.
It starts with getting at Marte and Escobar. I think that that's the key for Bumgarner against this D-backs team.
Marte, I didn't see his numbers against Bumgarner. Not fantastic, I don't think. Escobar, though, hitting 180 in his career against him. What do you think about Ketel Marte? We were talking about him yesterday. 1,400 career at-bats coming into this season. 22 total home runs. He's got like 300 at-bats right now. 20 home runs, and he's the starting second baseman.
He is a product of baseball in 2019.
Yeah.
I'll say it's been fun to watch. I think that of all the players who've been surprise stories this season, Ketel Marte has been really one of the best because he's a middle infielder, he's versatile, he can go play a number of different positions, plays in Arizona where the ball absolutely flies, and I just think that someone with his infectious energy on the field is good for baseball.
He's a showman.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like 25 years old.
He's showman.
Young.
He's Javier Baez in Arizona.
I love that.
It's good for the game.
Yeah. All right, you had a question about Sam Selman?
Tell us about Sam Selman.
Sam Selman, a guy that we've been watching in the PCL just tear it up for the Sacramento River Cats, but really I'd like to throw it over to Carmen Q because she has been tracking Selman's progress and what he's done in Sacramento. And Carmen, the strikeout numbers are really, really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he's striking out people 45.7% of the time, which is the fourth best in the minor leagues, all of the minor leagues. Right now, he's pitched 31.1 innings, and he has 51 strikeouts. That's insane.
Who is he?
Yeah, who is it? He's the latest. I said this to Kerry when he sat down. He's the latest 28-year-old Giants minor leaguer who may come to the bigs.
Well, really? He's a Vanderbilt product, 2012 draft pick of the Royals. He was an early round pick. Great live arm, but really strong. Kind of had the yips in the minor leagues. Never quite put it together. Had all sorts of walk issues. And then retooled himself at Driveline up in the Pacific Northwest and has really come on as a minor league free agent with the Giants. Carmen, my question, where do the Giants fit him in the bullpen? Could he come up while they still have Will Smith, Tony Watson, and Sam Dyson on this roster, or do they need to make a move to free up a spot for Sam Selman?
I think, you know, he probably would come up after Will Smith is maybe traded. He is a strikeout guy, so he's definitely got that kill pitch. And I think he can certainly be maybe an eighth inning guy while he kind of gets his feet wet. I hope it can translate to the big league level. He's never been in the big leagues, so we'll see how that works out.
So tell us what Driveline is, because you referred to it, and what is he throwing, 95?
It's a pitching factory, essentially. I know that if the folks at Driveline are listening right now, I'll never do
they're driving off the road.
I'll never do them justice in my explanation of what it is. But essentially, it's modern training with modern technology. You're looking at analytics. You've got all sorts of different kind of mechanical points that they look at to maximize a pitcher's abilities. You focus on different throwing programs that you really haven't seen prior to the most recent years in baseball. And so it's a fascinating experiment, and a number of pitchers kind of led by the Indians, Trevor Bauer, have gone up there and retooled their careers and had a lot of success.
It's up in, is it Washington?
Seattle
and,
area.
And that's where Tim Lincecum was, right, before he made his comeback to the Angels, all right? Kent, Washington.
It's in Kent, Washington.
Thank you.
There we go. You have to give her the mic.
Exactly. Carmen knows a lot more about Driveline than I do.
Yeah, very good. Well, good stuff. All right, Sam Selman, 28 years old, 50 strikeouts, 30 innings at Sacramento. And I agree with Carmen on this. I think someone's got to go before they bring him up. I think I would trade everybody in the bullpen.
What, are you going to trade Sam Selman?
I would trade everybody in the bullpen.
You trade Sam Dyson, and then you bring him up and throw him in that role.
Well, because you need players. You need players.
What about this? When he comes up, do you look at him in a high leverage role immediately?
No.
Okay.
No, he's never been in the big leagues. You work him into the sixth inning and stuff like that. Then you hope that he if he does come up, that he has a good first year. That he shows he belongs in the big leagues, like a Ray Black kind of. And then next year, he auditions for the club.
Well, we're going to see him. And I think there's a number of players on that AAA roster. He's not the only one pitching well right now.
Who else you got? Who else is coming up?
Fernando Abad,
former
AAA
Athletic,
All-Star.
The left-hander.
Maybe Pat Venditti comes back. But Connor Menez, Marty, he's the guy we've talked about from Hollister, California. I think we're going to see him in this rotation.
Right, very good. Boy, good Sunday report, Kerry. Very good.
Well, with the help of Carmen Q, of course.
Very good. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Where are the folks today?
I think they're out riding their bikes or hiking, you know, enjoying a beautiful Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Thank you.
Definitely stopping and listening to Talking Baseball with Marty
Lurie. Very good. All right. Thanks for coming out. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Marty.
All right. More coming up.